Save big money on your kitchen project at Menards. We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in-store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money at Menards.
Thanks so much for checking out this video where every week on Friday in the afternoon, I sit down with my friend 30 and So Gaming, and we're going to talk about what's next for Fallout. There is a lot to discuss. I kind of already debated Fallout 5 this week with my audience, kind of saying it's needing to leave Bethesda behind, and I think Microsoft's going to agree with me on this. I'm going to get Mike's opinion on that, as well as everything else going on with Fallout 76 and Fallout 4 and the Fallout TV show. Make sure you hit that like button and subscribe button. I'm going to end the previous stream that was about the Elden Ring DLC and bring everybody over with a redirect. Mike, thanks so much for being here, dude.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
And we did a show about, you know, Fallout a couple weeks ago, and we basically said Fallout is having a moment. That was essentially how we couched that one, and we kind of walked through 76, and you and I kind of went back and forth on our differences and with our experience there. So what I want to start with, though, specifically is Fallout 5, and I took kind of a strong opinion this week where I said, and guys, I'm going to, there it goes, it fixed. I was going to switch servers because his cam was acting a little funky. I basically argued in that video that two things. I think the popularity of the TV show is undeniable. It's so high and broke so many records that I essentially said Satya Nadella picked up the phone and said to Phil Spencer, we got to figure out how to get a new Fallout game to market sooner than later. We can't wait for Bethesda to finish The Elder Scrolls 6. So how do we make that happen, Phil? And then I also kind of argued that, just from my perspective and opinion, looking at the trajectory of Fallout games as well as Starfield, I consider Starfield to essentially be like a Fallout 5. I personally don't think Bethesda should be the one to build it. I think they should hand it to somebody else, and Bethesda should consult similarly to how they did with the TV show. So what are your thoughts on that, on what should happen with Fallout 5? You know, do you think it's coming, you know, sooner than later, given the popularity of the show?
I talked about this earlier in the week as well. I think that, one, Bethesda has lots of IPs that are popular with the Skyrim. People want Skyrim, the next, you know, Elder Scrolls stuff. They want the next Fallout. They're doing their brand new one with Starfield. They have Fallout 76. So Bethesda, with just those IPs, has a lot going on. And then they dropped this TV show, which obviously was in the works for like 2 years. And they, when they launch it, I don't think they thought it was going to be this huge ordeal. And they were just on course with, yeah, we'll do the remasters of our old Fallout games, right? Because there was a leak with the FTC about Fallout 3 remastered, and everything in that list kind of got pushed back 2 years. So we'll probably see Fallout 3 2025 or 2026, but that's still pretty far away, and that's an old game that's just being remastered if and when it comes out. Right. So do they give a Fallout 5, and let's say their projection was Fallout 5 was 2031, right? Well, that's got to move up. Something's got to move up now, especially since this is a hit TV show. The player base is back playing their games, which obviously will go back down because the hype settles. Hence for why sure, my conversation sure. a couple weeks ago saying they should have done weekly instead of the one lump sum. And then what do you do after that? Season 2 comes out maybe late 2025, 2026, and you want to have something. So do you have updates for Fallout 76 to kind of bring it in? Do you do what you're doing with Fallout Shelter and kind of put characters into that game? Or do you have a studio right now behind the scenes that we don't know that's working on maybe not Fallout 5, but working on some sort of maybe New Vegas type of game? You know what I mean? Maybe it's Obsidian working on something behind the scenes. Maybe it's another company working on a New Vegas type of off story where it's Fallout and it's just hyphened, you know, whatever it is. They got to do something. I think they would be idiots if they just did nothing until 2030. You know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, there's people that don't agree. Like in chat, Chris F is saying, he's like, it shouldn't be called Fallout 5 if it's not Bethesda. As much as I'm a professional Bethesda hater, just call it something else, like with New Vegas. Here's the problem with that, though. Bethesda didn't do Fallout 1 and 2. Okay, they did 3
and 4.
No, they
bought it. Yeah, they moved. They bought it from them. Yeah,
they did 3 and 4, and then Obsidian did New Vegas. So I don't see that Bethesda has. I don't think they get to stake a claim on it. I don't. I think they get to stake a claim.
Why is that? Because they didn't make 1 and 2?
I think they get to stake a claim on consulting because they've handled the art direction and the property so well. But if you say, nope, you can't make Fallout 5 unless Bethesda's making it, they did make Fallout 5. It's Starfield, and it's incredibly disappointing. Like, I don't think that they've not proven themselves that they can do another game like this without basically just rehashing and recycling what Fallout 4 already did.
Well, there was another big franchise that started off as a top-down and then went to three-dimensional as Fallout did, and that's a small company and game called Grand Theft Auto 5 or Grand Theft Auto series, okay? Mm-hmm. Which wasn't owned by Rockstar in the very beginning. It was, I forget, it was called D. Mackey or some other company that made the original Grand Theft Auto games. It was two guys that they made it up to a certain point, and then the Dan Houser and them took it over, made it into Rockstar North, which then turned it into Grand Theft Auto, which then turned it, you know, to the three dimension, and then it's the rest is history, right? So what Bethesda did with Fallout 1 and 2, which they didn't have anything to do with, but that company then sold the rights off to them. Bethesda picked it up, and then they converted it to what it was, to what it is.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. They have claims to make it exactly what it was, to what it is, because if you go look at the sales of Fallout 1 and 2, sure, it sold good, but it was a niche community, and then when they made it into that 3D, it blew up just the same as, because I think it went from like 600,000 sales for Fallout 2 to 12 million for Fallout 3, and then Fallout 4 sold even more, so I think they do have a stake and claim of saying what they want to do with Bethesda, not because they didn't make Fallout from the beginning. They take it and they made it into what it is today.
Well, I think the real challenge, though, with that position, there are people that are going to agree with you. They're not going to like the fact that I say they don't get to stake a claim on it. The real reason they don't get to stake a claim on it is it's not their call. It's Microsoft's call.
Sure. Well, now it's Microsoft's because they paid $7.8 billion or whatever the hell it is. Yeah. And I said this earlier in my show, I was like, Microsoft and Obsidian are under the same umbrella now, right? And Microsoft owns Bethesda. So if Bethesda says, well, we're going to hold off, and Microsoft says, no, you're not. We're going to give it to X company, and they're going to make the next, and you're going to consult on it. Then Bethesda's like, well, thank you, Mr. Microsoft. We appreciate you very much. That's what they're going to do, because that's who pays the bills now.
For sure. And that's I actually am more concerned about that than, you know, people don't like when I say Starfield is basically Fallout 5. And I'm like, if you look at the crafting, the skill trees, the way the weapon system and the inventory works, come on. Like, what are we even doing here? There is no great step of evolution in an open world RPG where you have guns that you can craft. And then the way the skills, come on. It's so similar. Entire systems seem to be completely just lifted wholesale right out of Fallout. And I don't see evidence of this giant evolution. Like, should we compare the quality of the RPG experience from Fallout 4 to Starfield? Like, do you want to do that? I think you'll see they haven't moved the needle all that much. Like, I don't think Bethesda has proven, hey, we're the ones that should build Fallout 5. If we were going to say that, we would point to the most recent thing that they have done, which is Starfield. Sure. And we would say, is there evidence that you guys have really brought the open world RPG with guns, the open world shooter RPG? Have you brought it forward? I don't think that they have. Now, they can improve Starfield. They seem to be planning to. They seem to be doing good updates. They got the Shattered Space DLC on the way. Great. Awesome. And then they're going to turn their sights to Elder Scrolls 6. I think the greater concern I have is not just that, well, Bethesda wouldn't do enough or they would kind of phone it in. My concern is Microsoft's going to say, we want a Fallout game in the next 3 to 4 years, and they're just going to throw bodies at it. They're going to find studios, because look how many studios they own now, right? They're just going to throw bodies at this project to get it out the door, and then poor Bethesda's going to get to consult. But then they're going to see that product, that IP that got so much respect and reverence in the TV show. And my concern is we would get a bad game.
I mean, they could throw out, I mean, Fallout 76 was made in, I think, what, 13, 15 months, something like that. So would, I don't know, chat, would you want a, because you want a Fallout game, would you take a Fallout game that takes 13 to 15 months to make and then they fix it over the next 24 to 36 months afterwards? You know what I mean? That's what Fallout 76 is, right? But because it wasn't that next Fallout game that people wanted, because they wanted that single player aspect of it. They wanted what Fallout was. I mean, if you think about it, you had a Fallout game in the last 5 years. You still have a Fallout game that you can play that's that they're constantly upgrading and updating as they go. They're putting a brand new DLC map extension in for 76. I know people don't want to hear this, but there's a Fallout game right now that you could play that's new and keep adding stuff to it. So Elder Scrolls hasn't been new for 11 years, 12 years. Right. So that's the next game that they're really focusing on.
Right.
And until that comes out, I don't think we get a brand new single thing like Fallout 3 or Fallout 4 as Fallout 5. And I do believe Bethesda makes Fallout 5. I don't know if Obsidian or what's the other company? Is it
In Exile?
In Exile. That's it. Maybe they come out with a top down kind of side project. You know, like an old school Fallout 1 or Fallout 2. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they make a Fallout something in the franchise, but it's a Fallout tactics game again. There's people, if you want to play Fallout, there's modders making Fallout London. There's modders making Fallout Vault 13, which is Fallout 1 redone in the Fallout 4. There's another modder making Fallout 2 in the Fallout 4 engine. So if you're a fan of Bethesda games, and a lot of people like to say that Bethesda doesn't know how to make games and the modders make them better, well, there's modders making these games for fans of these games, so there are other games that you could play from Fallout that are not coming from Bethesda.
So you think that Fallout 5, we're gonna have to wait for it? You don't think it's coming out?
I think Fallout 5 is made by Bethesda. Yeah, I think okay. Another, I think a hyphened, you know, Fallout insert name is made by another company, but I think Fallout 5 is Bethesda.
Now, Eugene saying, TLU didn't need a new game to take advantage of the show. Why does Fallout? Well, because I think we're ignoring the fact that there was clearly a corporate decision with the TLU PC port, and they rushed it, and they handed it to a company that had no business touching it. They handed it to Iron Galaxy, and the port was terrible. They were trying to capitalize on the popularity of the TV show. Now, PlayStation certainly has, at least somewhere at the corporate level, a respect for quality, and they knew we can't rush Naughty Dog to make a Last of Us in time to time it with the show. But if you don't think that there is some sort of a strategy there as well with the show and the next game, I think you're kidding yourself. I think they're going to try to time TLU 3 with the show in some way. And we're also talking about Microsoft. Like, we're talking about a company that willingly put out Redfall and willingly put out Forza Motorsport and willingly launched Halo Infinite's multiplayer in a beta. They have a software mentality for years of push it out, we'll fix it later. And I think they would absolutely throw bodies at this and say, we want to get a Fallout game out so that we can capitalize on this TV show. This thing is red hot. We have a red hot ticket. And they're going to try to get a game out sooner than later. In the meantime, I think we get remasters and remakes of Fallout 3 and potentially New Vegas.
Well, here's the problem. Even if they started working on Fallout right now, right? The show's out. They said it's super hot. Start a Fallout. Like, it takes 3 to 5 years to make a game, regardless, right? So if they don't already have a Fallout game in the pipeline, already working on behind the scenes, you're not getting a new Fallout game with 3 to 5 year quality until 5 years from now, because the show just came out. And if it's a hot ticket, hot commodity, well, they start developing it. They had to have something already in the pipeline, 2 years already in the making.
Yeah. Well, and that would be the thought, is that they could space out, you know, maybe this year we get surprised by, you know, Fallout 3 remake, or maybe next year. And then another one, right? You space them out. You get a Fallout 3 remake, remaster. Then you get the New Vegas. Now, I've got a report in our Discord from Gaming Bible. They're claiming that there's going to be a Fallout 2 getting a full remake in Fallout 4's engine. Now,
that's what I brought up. Yeah, there's two modders, but that's not from Bethesda. That's modders doing it.
Right. Okay. So that's what I'm saying, is that's not even potentially then on the table of officially
Correct.
Coming from Microsoft. So that would mean that if you just do the updates this year and you do the Fallout 76 stuff that we know is coming, And then next year, let's just hypothetically put out a timeline of Fallout 3 remake remasters next year. And then Fallout New Vegas is the year after. And they're trying to time these with the show beats and the seasons. I don't know if the season 2 is going to be able to, it'll probably hit, I would think, the way these TV shows go, no strikes.
Like 2 years.
Two years. Like, it isn't going to be next year. So, because these actors are going to get red hot, and they're going to get more offers to do movies and stuff, and then they're going to get locked up in the contract. So hopefully, since they've got them booked for season 2, they've already got scheduled for production and filming. So that means that if there's a season 3, that season 3 would then probably land 2027 or 2028.
Yeah, and I would say 26 and then 28, yeah.
That, to me, is when they would want the next game to land, which is roughly 4 years from now. So, or 4 or 5 years from now. So I would think 4 years from now, if they're getting that season 3 out the door, or maybe they do a movie, who knows? I mean, this thing's got a lot of potential, great cast, great writing. They nailed it, right? And so, you know, if they try to time it with season 3, then that's what I think, is that they're going to try to get a team on this right now so that in 4 years' time they have a ship date. Like, they're going to want to have that coalescence between show and the game, which means I don't think Bethesda is the one to do it, unless Microsoft, I don't think they would do this. I think the PR would be bad to walk in the room and say, no, you're gonna shelve Elder Scrolls again. I don't think that would work. I think that would be a very, very bad idea to do.
Yeah, I think the spot between now and 2030, the only Fallout you're getting, minus the modders that are working on games like London and Fallout 1 and Fallout 2. I think there's another one. Fallout Miami, I think, is another one. There's just Fallout 76. And I know people don't want to hear this, but they have plans, 5-year plan, for more content for Fallout 76. So 5 more years from here brings you closer to that deadline of what they want Fallout 5 to come out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the discussion has also been, well, then who would they tap? Who would they get to do this? And, you know, Obsidian is obviously the company that keeps coming up.
Yeah.
And I've heard mixed messaging, right? Because they're currently getting Avowed ready to ship. I mean, that thing is this year. So they're in final runway on that. That's a shippable game probably. It's, you know, well, it'll be going gold eventually this year at some point. And then Outer Worlds 2. So people are like, I don't think you're going to be able to tap Obsidian. Now, we're hearing that Obsidian's like, oh, we'd absolutely love to do another Fallout. But presently, the article I read said they're more focused on their own projects. Like, that would be a large...
Outer Worlds 2, yeah.
Yeah. Because this would be a large-scale project. You can't go grab a 100-person team and say, can you build Fallout 5 for us? I think you'd need a large team, which is why I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, which is when I start theorizing Microsoft, Xbox own a ton of studios. They're going to try to cobble together some multi dev team, multi studio strategy here, and kind of and then task Bethesda to oversee it, because everybody's working on their own thing right now. I mean, we know Coalition is working on Gears. We know that Fable is coming from Playground. Mm-hmm. We have no idea what's going on with Perfect Dark. That might, I don't even know. That thing could end up getting canceled. Machine Games has Indiana Jones coming, and then Ninja Theory has Hellblade coming. None of those teams seem to be large enough or even built for it, right? Because people kept saying, well, id Software, the guys from Doom. I'm like, they could set they could nail the tone, but are they equipped to do an open world RPG?
Yeah.
That, I think, is the challenge. Like, who do you task to do this? To build a game of this size and scope,
I out of all the studios they have, I'll be honest, I don't have an answer for you besides Obsidian. Like, Obsidian, because they made New Vegas, that's like the go-to. We were having a conversation the other day. We were playing Division 2, and obviously Massive is not part of, and it's Ubisoft. But I was like, man, could you imagine a Fallout with the Snowdrop engine? I was like, that would be amazing, right? But like it or not, Fallout games and Bethesda games are linked to the Creation Engine, and the Creation Engine is why people like, I know they don't think it is, but they like it because of the Creation Engine, right? The modding community loves it because how flexible the Creation Engine is for them, because they're passionate fans that they can also make what they want in that engine as well. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword. The engine is what people think is holding it back, But yet the engine is what makes the game what it is, and that's why people like Fallout games, the Skyrim games, and whatnot. Now, I did read an article about blending two engines together. I forget what company did it, where they were taking two engines and they were putting them together. They used the Unreal Engine 5 on top of, and I forget the other engine they were using, and they kind of like used them in tandem for certain things. Now, if they can do something along the lines of that to cut down the development time, right? Because the Unreal Engine 5 is much easier to use, you know, cut stuff in half. But at the same time, it also brings other problems in that could be more detrimental. Detrimental, you know, to the problem where it hurts the game even more, because then it's not that Fallout feel of the creation engine anymore, right?
For sure. This is a huge debate about the engine, because, you know, there was even a YouTuber who sent out, you know, and got back like 90 something responses from everybody that he knows in the industry. If they are, you know, they work in a studio or development at any level, you know, he sends out this survey, and the overwhelming response was that there's a lack of confidence in the creation engine. And when I look at Starfield attempting to do its redemption arc, starting with these 8 performance modes that they just announced, right? The 4 different frame settings and then the 2 performance choices, which that's 8 different options that you can come up with. I guess my thought would be, if Starfield on this redemption arc and on this attempt to improve and make the game better in all facets, I mean, the amount of bugs they're squashing is a long list. And then we get these performance updates, and I've had people theorizing that like maybe they figured things out with the engine, and that's why they're able to do this with the 60 frames per second coming to console. So if that is the case, then Starfield will show us that, oh, the engine actually can adapt. But if we don't see that, I have serious concerns about the creation engine's ability to adapt to modern sensibility, like what people expect from a game, whether it's Elder Scrolls 6 or Fallout 5. Because I think you're right, like, oh, it wouldn't feel like it. I'll be honest, I'm not as concerned about that, because I don't think Fallout feels that great to begin with. Like, I think Fallout 4, it's like you got to use VATS. The people like the shooting. I thought the shooting felt fine in Fallout 4 when I played recently, but I wouldn't be like upset if suddenly it was a different engine and it felt a little bit differently. I think it's more about the tone. It's about the vibe. Can you nail the art style and the music and the texture and the that juxtaposition of a destroyed world, and yet there's this charming, grinning, smiling, happy nature woven throughout? That's what they did such a good job with the TV show. Like, Ella Purnell nailed that with, in the midst of just absurd and grotesque situations, okie dokie, right? She embodies that so excellently in the show. I think that's more important than, well, it has to be in creation because of the modders. It has to be in creation because of object permanence, or, you know, I don't know if I agree. Like, where are you on the engine discussion? Do you think they could do this? And Elder Scrolls as well. It's like, does Elder Scrolls have a feel that they need the creation engine?
I don't know. I just, as a Bethesda fan, I played every single one of their games. I liked what the creation engine is, because you can do basically whatever you want in the game. Like, everything is not like if I play Division and I go up to a suitcase, the suitcase is locked to the ground and all I'm doing is grabbing the resources from the suitcase, right? But in Bethesda games, I'm walking up to that suitcase and I can pick up that suitcase and I can move that suitcase around and I can place it up on top of something else. I know a lot of people look at this and go, well, that's stupid, I don't care about that. But Todd has said this multiple times over the years of decades, is that the reason they make the games they make is because if you want to do something in the game, you can do it. If you want to just play the main story, you can play the main story. If you want to put potatoes in an elevator, you can go put potatoes in an elevator. You can go fly in Starfield and do whatever. Like, that's just it. They put all these systems in because they want people to do what they want, right? If you want to sit down and do absolutely nothing while you're playing the open world game from Skyrim and you want to walk from one point of the map to the next, great. If you want to fast travel, great. If you want to take all the pots and pans and put them on people's heads and have fun, great. That's what you do. And I think that's what gives it this charm. And a lot of people look at it as a game, and they want game mechanics. They want the fighting. They want the shooting. They want the stuff. And I totally get that. But what they're making over at Bethesda is they're making gaming experience where they're making it, it's like gaming's about fun and they just want to have fun and let people have and do what they want in their game. So I think the creation engine lets that be. And that's why I think the creation engine is a must for their types of games. Now, if you want to make a one-off spin-off or something, you want to take another game and take a Fallout IP and put it in something else where it's not in that Fallout in that timeline, but it's a Fallout game, you mm-hmm. want to try something different, I think cool, do it. But I think the main stage Fallout, I think, needs to be in the creation engine. And if they want to do like a tech test or something with the Unreal Engine, or they want to take the Snowdrop engine, or they want to take whatever engines out there that they want to use, then go ahead and do it. But creation engine is Bethesda. Luke Skywalker is Star Wars, right? So like, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to agree with you. I think to them it's sacrilege that I'm like, leave behind the creation engine. The people don't agree with me on the fact that the object permanence and being able to have 1,000 items in a warehouse that you can go pick up every single one if you want. And I'm like, yep. You know what? I think that was cool. I no longer think that is the value point that people think that it is. I just don't think that it is. If you want a game like that, I feel like that's more of a open world sim survival or something where you're like sort of, you know, creating and building and you need to have all those different points of grabbing. But the intersection, the beauty in sort of making my video the other day about this and researching sort of the trajectory of Fallout, to me, the beauty of what Bethesda pulled off with Fallout 3 is they took the RPG top-down experience of essentially a tabletop RPG that then got into the more action moment to moment. And then they said, okay, listen, let's take that and put it in a 3D open world with guns. Now that in and of itself is that at the time is revolutionary to converge those two things. In a similar way, Borderlands 1 took the Diablo format and said, what if we did Diablo with guns? And it was a first person shooter. And I think games like Fallout 3 similarly said, let's do something that's never been done before. I think now the challenge is that good enough for everybody to sort of accept the fact that it either looks dated, feels dated, or doesn't run all that well? Because, well, I can pick up 1,000 bobby pins or 250 bagels, and that's just really something that I need in the game. Like, my worry is that has now become a gimmick with the size and scope of other games. That seems like a sideshow to me now. And then I admit people don't agree, and that's fine, but that's where I look at it. I'm like, that's a sideshow at this point. That's not what makes for a great game.
But is it a sideshow? Because if you look at games like Avatar, Frontiers of Pandora, right? That's a huge open world game, mm-hmm. right? It's vast, but you can't pick up anything. You can't do anything, and you get bored real quick, right? That's more of a theme park type of thing. You're like, it's vast, it's open, it looks awesome, it's wide open. You could go as far as the eye can see, but there's really nothing for you to do there, mm-hmm. right? And Bethesda's the same way. It's vast, it's open. There's really nothing to do there in Starfield, particularly, right? A lot of planets are dense and open and nothing to do because that's what space is. But at the same time, like, you can pick up stuff, you can grab things, and you can have fun and do whatever. And I feel if you made let's say Fallout 5 comes out and it is Doom, right? It's the Doom guys making Fallout 5, and
yeah.
You can't pick up anything. It's much more narrow. It's a shooter now. There's boss fights. Is that Fallout? I don't think that's Fallout. It's Fallout in a name, but that's not Fallout. Right, you see what I'm saying? Like, it loses its character. It loses what its identity is. You can see what Call of Duty was in the past, and what Call of Duty is now. Call of Duty, what it is now, is Fortnite for adults. Okay, that's what Call of Duty is now. Right, with the cosmetic skins, they've lost their identity. Battlefield's lost its identity. It tried to become Call of Duty, and Call of Duty tried to become Battlefield, and they're all kind of mumbled together, trying to compete with everything. Where Bethesda knows what it is, and it wants to be what it is, and that's why they use what they use.
My view of this reminds me of what probably was happening when Fallout 3 came out. It was no longer top-down. I also think we've seen this debate when a game moves away from being turn-based to being action or moment-to-moment, where you're in control of every swing of the axe, every roll or movement. And I do feel this, to me, is in a similar category of, yes, that is part and parcel to the experience of Skyrim and Fallout. Like, I get it. But I think a game has to transcend something if it is inherently holding the game back or restricting how well it can run or how good it can look. I think we're trading too much. Now, if they can make a game, let's just imagine that Elder Scrolls 6, you can pick up 100 cheese wheels and roll them down a mountain if you want. But the game looks and runs far better than we've ever seen in the creation engine. I don't have confidence in the creation engine. I just don't. And neither does the industry. So I think that's telling, okay? But let's just imagine they pull that off. I don't mind at all. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not against those things. I don't feel...
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. What we get from that, the ability to pick all those items up and to have object permanence, I don't think that is good enough for what we would be trading 4 to 5 years from now. 4 to 5 years from now, you would have an Elder Scrolls 6 that looks dated and locked in time and even struggles with performance. But if we can get an Elder Scrolls 6 that looks like a next-gen game and I can pick up all those cheese wheels, I don't care. I'm fine with it. I don't feel like
we get enough. Graphically, you want to... Like God of War, you want it to be like Battlefield, you know, with the photorealism, and it just looks amazing, right? That would bring you over, even if they still use the creation engine. So you're okay with the creation engine. You just think the creation engine graphically is dated, not the actual what the engine is.
It's graphics and performance. I'm not obsessed with photorealism because I think art style can really bring a game home. I really do. Like, I've actually said art style will endure longer. Like, I think Hi-Fi Rush is always going to look good because its art style is great. But then you're going to have games like Final Fantasy 16 in 20 years will look dated. We'll be like, oh, that looks like an old game. So I'm not obsessed with photorealism. It really is, does it look and run like a next-gen game? I do think Elder Scrolls has to try to achieve photorealism because of the game's history. Like the water in the trees and the mountains, it's going to need to look really nice. It's going to need to look real. I think that's the art style of Elder Scrolls. Like, I don't think they can suddenly make it look like Fortnite or...
Sure. No, they have to stay with it, what it looks like from the past. Yeah, right? You can't just change it to Borderlands, type of feel.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, though, if they could create the game, if it's Skyrim, the next Skyrim, if it's the next Fallout, if it's whatever, and they do make it graphically better... But then it's missing what is creation engine, right? Like right now, the new creation engine for Starfield, I mean, graphically, it's much better than what the past games were. It's night and day. Right?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't want to admit that. But when you play those games, you play Starfield and you look at the character models, obviously there's the ones in the background that look absolutely horrendous. But the main characters that you look at look vast superior than the ones that you're looking at in any of the Fallout games in the past and the Skyrim games. So they did up the ante with the graphically, and the creation engine still fits, right? It's still, you can grab the potatoes, you can put the cheese wheels, you can do whatever you want with it. I just feel like if they do what you're saying and they make it graphically like Call of Duty, right? They make it like a Call of Duty graphically, it just looks amazing. But then you can't do the other stuff. I think it loses its identity. That's just me personally, right? It's like if you play a Souls game and all of a sudden Souls games change the way the combat is with the bosses. We're like, well, it's outdated, so we're just kind of changing. We're like, well, no, we like this because of the way it is. Not, we don't want you to copy everybody else. And I feel like, personally, everyone can disagree, but I feel like Bethesda, I don't want everyone using the Unreal Engine 5. I don't. I don't want everyone.
Sure, yeah.
Right, making all the games using the one engine to rule them all type of thing. I want different games to use different engines, and because you want that diversity, you want that non-consolidation of the stuff. So I don't know, man. I'm gonna push back. I'm gonna be like the gatekeeper of the creation engine here, right? Yeah. Like people are gatekeepers about putting an easy mode into Dark Souls games. I'm the gatekeeper of, I think the reason people loved Bethesda games is because of the creation engine, and if they change it and tweak it too much, then it loses what it is.
Derek's pushing back here. He says, I got to weigh in against Mike here on the emptiness in Bethesda games. That is a problem pretty exclusive to Starfield. The Fallout games are full of stuff and only empty in deserts and stuff.
No, that's what I said. I said Starfield is empty because it's space. I didn't say anything about Fallout or Skyrim being empty. I said Starfield specifically is empty because it's space.
Oh, maybe he misheard you. So, yeah, I felt like Fallout 76 felt a little empty too, but I didn't play as much as you, so that maybe just that opening area.
It's not empty. It's okay. There's a lot of stuff to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my answer to everything you just said is they could change my mind with Starfield. Because I think you're right. There are times where I look at Starfield and I'm like, that's a really good looking game. But I've also said that Starfield reminds me of the Seinfeld episode, Bad Lighting on the Porch, where sometimes I say, oh, wow.
It's the Seinfeld light episode.
Like, yeah. Oh. Sometimes you're like, ugh, yeah. Why does she look yeah. like that? And other times it's like, oh, yeah. She is so pretty. And Starfield is that character from that Seinfeld episode. It's like sometimes I see screenshots. I was playing the game at times and I was like, wow, these characters, they look so great. And these environments look so good. And then you get to certain areas and you're like, oh, gosh, you're like, what just happened
yeah.
to the game?
You're like, oh, my God. Yeah.
It's like the game stepped back in time.
Hideous.
I think, again, I believe that's an engine level issue, and they can win me over. They could completely, this game, as I predicted yesterday, I believe Starfield's headed to PlayStation 5. I think that's what this performance update is targeting. And I think they could change my mind. Like, if that thing shows up on the PlayStation and the graphics, lighting, textures, performance, all that's been given a nice kick up, a nice notch up, I obviously would have to still deal with the loading screen issue. But I do think they would win me over. I would say, okay, you guys nailed this. Because I think Cyberpunk is a great example. Cyberpunk launched, it was buggy, it was glitchy, had all these issues. Mm-hmm. It was a disastrous launch. And then I played Phantom Liberty, probably one of the best looking games, especially first person. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora is also one of the best looking games I've ever played, first person perspective, just gorgeous. And Phantom Liberty, Cyberpunk, I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is really, really excellent. So I think they could have that moment with Starfield. And then I would say, okay, I have more confidence in the creation engine's elasticity, its agility, its ability to adapt to the more modern landscape. Because I think my main thought on this is, if Starfield is about as far as that engine can go, and even then they had issues, right? It still has those rough edges, and performance was rough, and like we just talked about, like sometimes it doesn't look good. It looks like an old game. If that's kind of if they're pushing against the limitations of the engine, imagine that in 4 to 5 years, what are people going to say if that's about as good as Elder Scrolls 6 can look?
But do we know they're pushing up against the engine, what they is? Because this is their first time using their new modified engine, right? This was the first attempt for what it is. And anytime something comes out, they're not maxing it out to what it is. They're easing into it because they don't want to, you know, if you max it out, then where do you go from there? Right? Then people are not going to be impressed or anything. You have to kind of limit to what you want to do and then add to it as you go, as far as creative wise. You don't want to show your whole hand. You know what I mean? You want to kind of ease into it. Companies do this all the time with consoles.
I kind of look at them the way I would look at Epic. Right? Like, it's your engine. You know, like, if you guys should be the ones that are like, well, this is a new version, right? So, like, when Epic upgraded, Fortnite to Unreal 5, Fortnite looks beautiful if you turn everything up. I've seen some screenshots. I'm like, wow, that engine is really, really impressive. And it's their engine. And other companies that use proprietary engines, I expect them to do good work with it. So I hold Bethesda to a pretty high standard here. I'm like, this is your engine. Like, don't tell me, oh, it's a new creation engine, but then be like, well, it's the first time using it. It's like, well, what do you mean? Like, you guys are the ones doing it. Like, it's yours. Right. I expect much better than we got in Starfield. And I'm not saying the engine can't do it. My impression of Starfield was, and there were many other people, again, these are people in the industry kind of commentating and weighing in on it. It's just like, this engine's got limitations. We're bucking up against how far they can take it. And again, they could prove me wrong over the next year updating Starfield. I hope they do, honestly.
Here's the funny part, what I find funny about people, I don't know if you're hating on Bethesda or criticizing Bethesda. We're still here today talking about their old games 15, 20 years down the road. People are still playing those games, and not because of the TV show, right? I'm not talking about just because of the TV show, people are going back to those games. Like, these are single player games, and mm-hmm. Skyrim has been remade 7 times, right? People are still playing Fallout 3, and everyone's like, well, that's because of the mods. Well, the modders do it because they love the game, and they're modding the game because they can and they like modding the game. That's their game. Their game is to mod the game and make it look better. And then those people come back and play those games. Like, people give crap to Starfield, but I guarantee you 10 years from now, you're still going to be talking about Starfield. Starfield's not going away. It's a single player game, and people are still going to be playing Starfield, regardless if they keep adding stuff to it or doing whatever to it. Think of a game 10 years ago you played, and are people playing it now? Not a lot of games out there that people are playing. I mean, CSGO's out there for the multiplayer and stuff like that. But this is a single player game, and there's massive amount of people that always play their games. It's uncanny. There's no other company that has 3 to 4 IPs that people are playing their games 12, 15 years down the line.
Well, I actually think that's why I hold them to the standard that I do, because they should be the ones leading the charge. Like, Starfield should have been an undeniable masterpiece, and I'll point to Elden Ring as a parallel, as an analogy, okay? From Software, years of experience from Armored Core to Demon Souls to Dark Souls to Sekiro, and they delivered a magnum opus. They did. Like, Elden Ring, in many respects, is the magnum opus of From Software. And after Bethesda comes from Oblivion and Skyrim and Fallout 3 and Fallout 4, I think it is completely and totally fair to expect excellence from them. And that, I think, is why everyone sort of is questioning and saying, well, is it a Bethesda problem? I said, listen, I think Todd Howard is one of the greatest threats to Elder Scrolls 6 because he needs to adapt. He does that Lex Friedman interview, and he's like, oh, we're fine with 30 FPS. Todd, I love you. I think your jackets are awesome. I think he's a nice guy, but you have got to get out of that. That's a Stone Age. That's the Stone Ages, bro. Like, 30 FPS is not okay in 5 years. It's not okay now. You can hand wave and say, oh, creative decision and more cinematic. Stop it. We're smart enough.
I'm with you there. We had a conversation 10 months ago when Starfield came out. We had this conversation. Do you think it's coming out 30 or 60? I said, it's going to come out 30. I said, but I think they'll put 60 in later, right? We had this conversation because of the X and the S. I was like, it's stupid to hold it back for one console to the other because people paid more money for that console to hit those numbers, and yet they're holding it back on purpose. And everyone's like, no, no, they know what they're doing. It's a creative decision. No, it wasn't. It was BS. And now we know it's BS because now they put 60 frames per second on the Xbox Series X.
Well, a little theory here. Why do you think Uncapped is in there? What do you think that's for? Like, why would you go to Uncapped? Like, what device is this going to land on that you could get uncapped frames above 60, basically? Like, what's going on there?
I'm assuming they're future proofing it because they have bigger plans for Starfield. If it does come to, PlayStation and the PlayStation Pro and then the PlayStation 6 and the Xbox whatever comes out and the next graphic card, I think that's why they're doing it. I think they're future proofing themselves because Microsoft's plan is to obviously put it in more places, right? So this is why I think they're doing it. I don't think it's specifically for PlayStation, if that's what you're like leaning towards. I think it's more of just future proofing what they're trying to accomplish with all their games moving forward.
No, yeah, I think it's a variety of things. I think you're right. I think the first thing that comes to mind is PS5 Pro is coming this year. And that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, uncapped? What in the world? The Series X isn't going to get beyond 60. At least I wouldn't think in a lot of areas, right? And that was the first thing I thought of. But then I also thought, like what you just said, do they have, like, what are the long-term plans here for Starfield? Like, I remember we've talked about live service elements, things like that. So we're talking about future of Fallout here. what they learn in Starfield could certainly feed the next Fallout. Do you see, with Fallout 76 especially, do you see Bethesda or whoever handles Fallout going forward? Is there going to be that idea of let's try to get some live service? Let's try to get some multiplayer in there. Live service is kind of a dirty word, man. People are like, don't do a live service. But like, you got Fallout 76. There were all these thoughts and observations that like Starfield really would have benefited from some type of online or co-op, which with their long-term plans here, who knows? That would really blow the doors off and make people say, yo, Starfield's a very different game now. You can play it with somebody else. You know, do you see the future of Fallout having some kind of an intersection between the amazing single-player RPG and you got Elder Scrolls Online and you got Fallout 76? Do you think there's a possibility there?
Yeah, I think, I think obviously Fallout 76 was a test. It came out. It was an absolute trash fire when it came out. And now it's in a much, much better spot. And they've learned a lot from the multiplayer aspect of that. I've said in the past with Hogwarts Legacy, I think they're going to do some sort of like Grand Theft Auto thing where it's a single player game, but then you can log into the online aspect. I think Starfield does the exact same thing. The reason they put like 1,000 planets in there, I think they're going to have some sort of moment, maybe 2 years, 3 years down the line, where they make, I don't know if they make a standalone game or if they just add a game mode into the world where they take like what Fallout 76 is and they merge it into a Starfield type of moment, right? So like you boot up the game of Starfield, and just like Grand Theft Auto, you can go into the Grand Theft Auto single player game and play the campaign, mm-hmm. or you can go on the online mode. I think that's what they're mostly going to do. Or I think Starfield could have that moment where it's lonely and empty right now. But just like Fallout 76 was, it was empty when it came, when you came out into the world, because you are the first Vault Dwellers coming out. And then they added the vast stuff afterwards. And what No Man's Sky did, No Man's Sky was just yourself. It was very lonely for 2 years, almost 3 years into that world, mm-hmm. until they added the actual multiplayer, where then you could play with your buds. And now that game has completely changed from when it launched to what it is today, right? Because now most people play No Man's Sky. They got that group. They go into the space station. They get into a group. They go do events now and stuff like that. So there could be that moment for Starfield down the line. I'm not saying like they're going to announce it this summer. They're like, yeah, Starfield's multiplayer. There's something in the works, because obviously Todd years ago said they were upset because people were still playing Skyrim and they weren't being able to monetize them. So they had to re-release Skyrim and the creation kit and stuff like that to make monetize that game over the time, because people were putting thousands and thousands of hours into a single player game and they weren't making any more money off of them. So they had to do planned obsolescence, basically, right? They had to do a reason of getting people to come back. And this is what I think Fallout 76 was a big test for Bethesda to put multiplayer aspects in their games moving forward. So to answer your question, I think Fallout 5, when it comes out, I think we'll have that single player game that the hardcore guys want. But then I also think it will have a Fallout 76 add-on to it, where you can play multiplayer if you want with your friends, or at least co-op, something.
It makes me think of a lot of our discussions about Hogwarts Legacy. And it was like, oh, you have this amazing castle and the world and the land surrounding it. Just do a version called like Hogwarts Online or something. And I wonder if there's some wisdom or some insight into almost like parallel development. You're going to build this massive world. Why wouldn't you have your very curated, your handcrafted, your quest, your side quest, your narrative, your story, your factions, Fallout 5, boom, just nail it. But right. Then you built that amazing world and you got the towns and the NPCs. Why not have somebody else working in tandem to say, we're going to build a Fallout Online as well. You got your the settlement aspects, everything they've learned from 76. I think there's a lot to be said for that, because I do think Assassin's Creed Valhalla really is charting that course of saying, when you build this big, amazing world, don't one-off it. Yeah, or maybe just a couple of DLCs. Like, I think there's something to that, and that might, maybe, build a bridge between the people that are like, oh, anti-live service, but you know, get away from me, Satan. And it's like, whoa, like you said with Grand Theft Auto, they could do that, where if you really want that curated single player experience, you'd get it. But then there's the people that want to have the online. Elder Scrolls Online shows that there's demand for it, and then Fallout 76 has been the train that just won't quit. I mean, I can't believe that thing's still going after how bad it was at launch. It's amazing to me.
Well, what I think also is not a smart idea for them to do is to do like Elder Scrolls Online is just standalone online, right? And people still go play Skyrim, but the player base is split, right? There's the people that just like that single player aspect, and they're still playing Skyrim, and they're level 10 million right now, right? They just keep going up, right? And then there's the people that play Elder Scrolls Online, and that's a separate entity where Fallout 76, you're in that, and it's just that one entity. You're not splitting the player base with Fallout. Go play the old Fallout. Hogwarts, Starfield, and the next Fallout, if they do what Grand Theft Auto does, the people that are playing the single player in Grand Theft Auto and people playing online, they're not splitting the player base. They're in that one game, and they get to pick and choose if they want to play, right? You don't make a standalone single player game and then a standalone multiplayer game, because then you're splitting the player base. But if you put the online within that game itself, then you keep the people coming back, because then you can do updates. You can do DLC for the single player aspect. You can do updates, live service aspect for the multiplayer stuff. And all these companies, we all have the exact same amount of time in our day, 24 hours. Okay. And if I'm not playing their game, I'm playing someone else's game, or I'm watching TV, or I'm doing you know what I mean? Like you're doing something else, and they want to keep you engaged as long as possible. And they don't want you going from this game to the next game, because you might see something in between there to where you might vary off to go do something else. So they want to keep you in that ecosystem as much as possible. Hence why Game Pass and PlayStation Plus and Netflix, it's like, oh, we recommend this next show for you. Oh, maybe you like this game. Here's the next game, right? And you just move on over to the next one. So I think it'd be dumb if they made Fallout 5 and then made Fallout Online. I think it would be Fallout 5 with an online aspect to it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I, you know, with Fallout 5, I do think that my theory is we will see it sooner than later. I don't think they're going to make us wait. They'll figure out.
When you say sooner or later, though, do you think when do you think it was supposed to come out?
I think, according to Todd Howard, it was planned for after Elder Scrolls. I think it
so like 2032.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now, what do you think it's going to come out?
Oh, I think that it comes out in the next 4 to 5 years,
which would bring us to 2028.
Mm-hmm. I do not think Microsoft sits idly by on this. I don't think so. And I know Todd Howard almost seemed to indicate that, I think people thought like, oh, that'll be his retirement game, right? We'll do Elder Scrolls, and he'll be like, all right, I got one more in me, right? And he would do Fallout 5, because I believe he even indicated in interviews that like that was kind of the rough plan, was Elder Scrolls 6 and Fallout 5. I think, sadly, I don't think it's up to him. I think Satya is going to insist that they get a quicker timeline. Now, maybe they call it something else. Maybe Todd has enough, you know, leverage and enough power to say, listen, man, no way. Like, that's, you got to let me have that. And they call it something else. But I believe we get a new standalone Fallout game in the next 4 to 5 years, because the property is too hot. It's on a trajectory of upswing. Like, they're seeing the results in old games. And when that happens, I know they're saying, we got to get something new out. Like, this is time to capitalize and make some money.
So do you think they're already working, before the show came out, do you think they're already working on a Fallout game right now? Or do you think now, because the show is out, now they're like, all right, guys, we got to get something going here?
Yeah, I believe it would be reactionary. I do. Because
so you don't think there's already something in the pipeline already working behind the scenes in early stages? Okay.
Well, according to Todd Howard, there are some Fallout projects, but that could be Fallout Shelter.
It could be an update
too.
For Shelter. Yeah, it could be whatever.
It could be a sequel to Shelter. It could be the remakes and the remasters, right?
Sure.
He could be referring to those. I'm telling you, I can picture it as clear as day in my mind. When these results come in from the TV show, Satya picked that phone up and called Phil and said, what do we have to do to get a new Fallout game in the next 4 to 5 years to align with this show? This show is hot. And it's not going to slow down. Like, this type of thing tends to build. Like, you had this explosion. I mean, 65 million. I mean, that's only behind Rings of Power. And that's Lord of the Rings. Like,
yeah.
So I think that phone call happened. And that's the question is, what do they call it? And, you know, obviously, I think you have to have Bethesda consulting. But I do think we get in 4 to 5 years. Part of me wouldn't even be surprised if we see a new standalone Fallout game before Elder Scrolls. Like, just...
Oh, I don't think that's happening.
So they don't step on each other's toes. I think Elder Scrolls is going to take longer to build, personally.
Let me clarify that. I don't think it's happening as far as the main Bethesda studio putting one out before Elder Scrolls. Obviously,
no, not Bethesda, no.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, if it's Obsidian or another studio that we don't know, 100% I can see that happening, putting out something. But again, that means it's, if they do it before Elder Scrolls, because Elder Scrolls probably come out 2026, 2027, right? At the earliest. At the earliest.
No, I don't think so.
Well, just because based on the FTC, they said it was supposed to launch in 2024. Now, obviously, everything got pushed back 2 years, right? So if they've only been working on it for 2 years now, it's going to take another 3 to 4 years before they're finished. So that would bring it up to 2026, right?
I thought they indicated they hadn't really even started production. I mean, they're now in the early stages, so I don't know. That seems insane.
They said they have a working game right now, is what they said.
Oh, right, the early the early versions. But again, that still feels so fast.
Sure, but they've already been working on it for like 3 years, so they have another 3 years to go. So I would say earliest 2026. Obviously, it'll get delayed to 2027 or whatnot, but...
I thought when they pushed out that update, they said they are in early builds of it, but given that it's the same engine, I don't know if that means they've been working on it for 3 years. Where did you read that?
I would have to look it up, but I could have sworn they said they have a working Elder Scrolls 6 right now.
They did. They said in that one update, they sent out the anniversary update, and they said they're already like testing early builds.
Correct.
I don't know if that means 3 years, because like again, it's Creation Engine and it's Elder Scrolls. It's like that doesn't seem like 3 years would. I don't know if it would take them 3 years to do that. I hope you're right, because means that we could see it in 3 years. That'd be 6 years.
The only thing I'm looking at is to verify this. Well, obviously, it's a leak from documents from 2019, and since that time, we've had the world shut down. Everything got delayed 2 years.
Yeah.
But if they announce Oblivion remake at this showcase this year, that would put everything, because everything else that they've announced in that year, if you look at that, I don't know if you have that data sheet that's up there from the FTC, but in that same year of Oblivion remake, they have Indiana Jones, they have Starfield, and they have the Starfield DLC, and they had one other thing. And three of those are coming out this year, the Shattered Space, the Indiana Jones, and there's the other game, I forget what it is. And then there's the Oblivion remake. So that was supposed to all slotted in 2022. So if that comes out, if Oblivion Remaster gets announced this summer at the showcase next month, then that would put it 2 years pushed back from where everything else was. And in that case, then the Elder Scrolls 6 was in the 2024 spot, which we're in today, obviously, and they're 2 years behind schedule, minimum. So that would make it 2026 before we see that. And that's when also the Fallout 3 remake or remaster was supposed to happen as well this year. So obviously, I don't know anything. I'm just looking at the FTC leaked, and based on the information they've already dropped and all the games they've already come out with has come out, except for that Oblivion remaster announcement. If that gets announced, then I would assume that everything else is on that trajectory of 2 years pushed back. So the earliest we see Elder Scrolls is 2026. But again, I don't know if you get a Fallout before that. That means they're working on right now.
I mean, I was under the impression that we were going to have to wait another 4 or 5 years for Elder Scrolls 6. Maybe my timeline's off. So if what you're saying happens, then yeah, you're probably right. Elder Scrolls had hit the market before Fallout, which I think still means they're not going to want to wait and have Bethesda do it. You know, they would have, if Elder Scrolls 6 comes out in 2027, 3 years from now,
yeah,
I would think the following year they would want Fallout 5. Like that would be the time.
I can agree with that. I can agree 2028. Like whatever it releases 1 year after, I can see that happening.
Right.
But again, they have to be working on it before the show came out, not after the show came out.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all if right now they are trying to figure it out. They're like they're going to try to get, because you think about how many studios Microsoft now owns. They're what are they? They're the second largest publisher now. I mean, they're one of the largest publishers in the world, and they could basically go to a handful of studios and say, "Stop everything.
Yeah.
This is what you're working.
This
on
is it.
Now.
Yeah, absolutely, they could."
Yeah, because they could go through, you know, Creation Engine training, because that would obviously be required, I would think, to do this. So, yeah, I mean, I could be off on the Elder Scrolls timeline. That might just be like my own presumption about timeline in relation to Starfield. Like, obviously, a lot of these companies like to leapfrog and parallel development. So somebody in chat was saying, Paul said there was over 200 people on Elder Scrolls 6 before the release of Starfield. So I could be a little off in my timeline. And I would be open to that. I hope that, again, in my mind, this is how I picture it. I picture Starfield, you know, dramatically improving over the next year in preparation to be sold on another platform. And if they do that in a way that makes me confident that, okay, this engine still got its chops, and if they get rid of going into outer space and it's just one giant world, then they could bring back the Bethesda magic. They could kind of get back to their roots. I think that is one of the criticisms of Starfield from longstanding Bethesda fans. It's like the handcrafted environmental storytelling, it just isn't there, you know? And I think that could be recaptured in Elder Scrolls 6, which, you know, with Fallout and Fallout 76, they're getting that update this year. I think I asked you, you know, the other day, how long do you think they let Fallout 76 go? Because in relation to Fallout 5, couldn't the team working on 76 help with Fallout 5?
Yeah, but they've already said they came out and they have a 5-year plan for Fallout 76 on top of whatever is happening right now. So they're still going to support this game for another 5 years. I believe they said that back a couple months ago. So they have another 5 years planned for Fallout 76. Now, you could look at it because it's a prequel, right? It doesn't take place during the time of the show. Maybe they could throw a wrench in it, and like all of a sudden something happens and you have to go back into the vault and go like cryogenically freeze yourself again for like another 200 years. And all of a sudden the cataclysm moment for like World of Warcraft inside of Fallout 76. Now it's 200 years later and now it runs perpendicular with the show. I don't know. I'm just pulling stuff out of my ass right now, but they're still supporting it. And that is why I don't think there's a Fallout 76 or another Fallout game working by Bethesda, because their plan, just like ESO is that gap filler between Skyrim and Skyrim, you know, or Elder Scrolls 6, right? Yeah, that ESO is that filler. 76 is that filler between Fallout 4 and Fallout 5. So they're going to go as much as possible. Why
save big money on your kitchen project at Menards? We carry everything you need to turn your kitchen dreams into reality. Renovate your space with new cabinets from Cardell. They're ready to install and come in a variety of styles. Visit our kitchen showrooms in store or go to Menards.com for free design estimates today. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for all of our hot deals going on now. Save big money
at Menards. Support Fallout 76 for five more years because it's successful and it's making them money. That's why they're keeping it going.
But chat's going where I was going, right? Like Bethesda Game Studios Austin, that's the 76 team, right? They could ramp up, they could hire, and you're answering to Microsoft now. They could walk in the room and say, hey, we think it's great, your commitment to 76. We see significantly greater profit opportunities in Fallout 5, a new Fallout. And 76 would basically get EOL, like they would ramp it down. Like, I don't know how much they've said publicly with that commitment to the 5 years and how much they would have to like walk back. But that's another possibility I hadn't even considered until literally just now. I was like, I had on the board like, oh, let's talk 76 next. And I'm like, wait a minute, Fallout 76... it can't be generating that much money. I mean, it's obviously doing something, which is why they continue to update it and add.
It's been in the top 50 for 5 years on Xbox, you know, top 50 games. So it's been in the top 50 the entire time it's been out.
It'd be interesting. They could at least maybe help. They could help with the initial build or initial ramp up or something. Like they could really Frankenstein this team to get this game. And Fallout 76 team could play a role because they're familiar with the engine. They're familiar with the world, the assets, the art style. They're in there. They get it. I remember when we covered Destiny, and I always thought that they were going to hand Destiny to Vicarious Visions because I thought Vicarious Visions made the best Destiny content. I feel like they were fans, so they knew what to make. And, you know, 76 could land in a similar spot. Like that team could be really tasked to like, hey, we need you guys to bring your expertise to bear on another project. If you're, you know, you're playing 76 and, you know, you're talking to people that like want to get into it right now. We kind of talked about this last week. You think for 5 years, this thing's good to go. It'll maintain that status and that momentum.
I mean, I don't think it's going to keep the momentum that it has right now because of the show. But I think that it's successful, right? We talk about all this all the time with microtransactions and live service games. 20% make 80% of the revenue, right? And I know people are throwing numbers in the thing where it'll drop below 6,000. Okay, well, 6,000. If those 6,000 people are spending $100 a month, right? That's a good profit to game for low cost for what they're doing with that thing, right? It's rinse and repeat. You keep doing the same thing over and over. It doesn't cost them $150 million to throw content into that game. It just kind of maintain it and throw stuff in every once in a while, every 6 months, once a year, and it keeps going. Like Grand Theft Auto didn't make DLC for the Grand Theft Auto regular game. Why? Because the online was making buku bucks. Now, I understand that's one extreme to the next, because it's the best piece of entertainment in the history, but that's why everyone's looking for that live service aspect for any of their games, right? For any of their games, they're looking for people to keep playing and keep it existing. Because remember, Microsoft is about Game Pass, and Fallout 76 is on Game Pass. So if you're only playing Sea of Thieves, or you're only playing Forza Horizon, or you're only playing, Fallout 76, you're paying a monthly fee just to play that one game, even though there's 100 other games on there. And then you're paying microtransactions on top of that for the Emporium on Sea of Thieves, for the whatever the club is called on Horizon, for the Atom Shop inside of Fallout 76. So the bigger picture is they don't need the 100 million people playing the game or 10 million people playing the game. They just need people to play that game, and then they need other people to play this other game. And as long as they're all playing on Game Pass, they don't care.
What's with Fallout 4, in this update, there were some complaints and some issues with it. You know, it's running better on one platform, running better on another. Is there a risk to split attention here? I mean, I don't know. If somebody made me play a game right now, I'd pick Fallout 4 over 76. So do you feel a draw at all to do Fallout 4 instead of 76?
Well, I've already played Fallout 4, so that's why I'm playing 76. I said this last week, I think. Because there's new content coming in Fallout 76, and there's like new events and new things, that's new, and I like playing new stuff, right? Where Fallout 4, I've played it. I played all the stuff there. So like I'm done with that. I'll go back and enjoy it and whatnot. But if you've never played a Fallout game before and you're debating between Fallout 4 and Fallout 76, I would choose Fallout 4. Fallout 4 has got so much content with the DLCs and the game itself and the story. The story is fantastic, and that would be the gateway drug to get you into the Fallout game. I would play Fallout 4. Obviously, I would play Fallout 3, but a lot of people don't like the dated because the look of it. Fallout 4 is much better, especially now that the upgrade. I would choose Fallout 4 over Fallout 76. But if you played Fallout before and you never played Fallout 76, I would say give Fallout 76 a try. There is a single player. A lot of people don't want to play it because they feel like they have to play with people.
Mm-hmm.
And you 1,000% don't have to play with anybody. You can go through the entire thing. But other people also comment, well, I don't want JBird69 coming in my thing and then blowing up a ghoul in front of me and then running off and stuff like that. It kind of breaks their immersion of being in a post-apocalyptic world type of thing. So, I mean, I totally understand that, but you don't have to play. And if you really don't want to play with other people, you can. I don't recommend this, but there is a Fallout First section where you can pay money to play single player. You know what I mean? Like you have your own private server. Yeah. So, but I would prefer or push people towards Fallout 4 more than Fallout 76. But if you like Fallout 4, there's more game with Fallout 76.
Yeah, I was surprised when I booted up Fallout 4. I put in over 110 hours into that game, and I knew that I liked it. I remember every time it would come up, people would say it was trash at launch and the modders had to save it. And I was like, I don't remember that. I remember playing it a ton, and I remember playing the Far Harbor DLC. And the fact that I put 110 hours into it really, I think, struck me as why I felt so disappointed in Starfield. But also, when I tried Fallout 76, I do feel like that's why that barrier was there for me. Like, I booted up Fallout 4, played the opening, got outside, I'm shooting stuff, I'm in the buildings, and I'm like, this still to this day is just such a good game. I really, really liked it.
It's a fantastic game, and yeah, they screwed up with the update.
The interesting thing, though, is to this day, if you talk to fans, they always run back to Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas. And I remember I false started with Fallout 3. I couldn't figure it out. It made me play Borderlands. This is like back in the Xbox 360 era. I was like, I don't like this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's slow. And I just went and played Borderlands 1. I just started a fresh character in Borderlands 1. Is that how you are? Is it like your first exposure to a franchise, the one that you kind of always go back to? Because I still now even think of, I have more fond memories of Fallout 4, maybe even than Skyrim, which is weird to say because I don't know how many hours I put into Skyrim. But I think more because I gravitate to shooters, Fallout 4 was just in such a good middle lane that, like, I think I'm cheering for Starfield's comeback moment indirectly because I want that to then have an impact on the next Fallout.
So what's the question?
Well, like, do you feel like your first exposure to a franchise affects your judgment of it? Because the guys that love with 3 in New Vegas, they just didn't think Fallout 4 is as good.
Well, it also depends on, like, if you're hyping a game up, first of all, you don't know what that person likes or doesn't like, right? What type of game? If they like shooters, then Bethesda's not typically your that shooter type of game. But there is shooting in the game, but it's not like the high velocity, you know, type of stuff. It's not like a Division, you know what I mean? Like, so it all depends what you like. But yeah, your first impressions are everything, man. Like, if you come in and someone's like, dude, New Vegas is the best thing ever and blah, 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 and then you go play and you're like, it's not really my thing. I don't really like this, right? You would be turned off and you're like, I don't want to play Bethesda games. But if you like story and stuff like that, New Vegas is awesome. But at the same time, when it came out, it was so buggy. It was so bad. But because it felt so good playing the moments when you played it, you forgave it. You were like, this is fantastic. What a great storytelling. And this is why I always go back to, you can like bad games, right? You can enjoy and have fun in bad games. Just know that don't stand here and pretend the game isn't bad and like defend it when it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, what any game it is in the future. So I love New Vegas. I loved Fallout 3. I love Fallout 4. Vegas was buggy as hell, but that's because they were forced to make it in, like, I think it was like 15, 18 months when they made that game, when they made New Vegas. So it came out very janky.
Yeah, the turnaround time was pretty incredible. I mean, there was just 2 years in between Fallout 3 and New Vegas. I remember when I was making that video, I was so struck by that. I was like, oh, I mean, we saw this with Call of Duty at a similar time in a similar era where it was like they had Infinity Ward and they had Treyarch. And it's kind of funny how they didn't continue with that idea of, like, let's just kind of bounce back and forth. People were actually advocating for that in the chat. They were like, for Fallout 5. They were like, well, just let it kind of rotate developers, you know, let people kind of continue to, you know, bat it around. And I think the only danger there in doing that is you end up with a game, you almost end up with like that, like the Star Wars thing where, like, you can't keep changing hands. You're going to lose identity if you're not careful. So I think that would be my main concern if they decided to kind of rotate it around that way. I think that would be a potential risk. So yeah, I mean, I think in the realm of what's next for Fallout, I think that's it's all exciting. It's just all very much, you know, very gray right now. I think,
right, it's all up in the air right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we can count on a handful of things. I do think the remakes and remasters are likely the most surefire thing we can say we know is coming. I think everything else is a bit of speculative, but I do think, knowing Microsoft, I think they're going to do everything they can to capitalize on this IP. I really do. And I think the show, and this is going to cause so many other shows to crop up, so many other, you know, companies are going to want to do shows. And understandably, right? Like, you get that surge. Like The Last of Us saw, every week they saw a surge in sales from an episode dropping, which kind of makes you wonder if they're going to regret doing the binge, you know, with the show, like dropping them all at once. They might think differently about that, you know, with, oh wow, look how much it impacted game sales and game engagement, and we blew it all at once. You know what I mean? We did it all in one run.
I was just thinking while you were speaking, what if Bethesda has something up their sleeve where they take the new creation engine and they just Skyrim-fi, you know, like re-release Skyrim again, but in the new creation engine. It's the same game, but release it the eighth time. And then they take Fallout 3 and Fallout 4 and release it in the creation engine, the new creation engine with Starfield, right? Would that suffice for the time being while you're waiting for other things? They just keep remaking it, but in the new engine. Would that be good enough for people? Or no, they want something new.
I mean, I could see a team doing that with Fallout 3 and New Vegas, especially just to kind of learn and figure out what they can do. I think if you do it with Skyrim, it would be a joke. It would be a meme at this point. I think you have to just leave that game alone. But I could see a Fallout 3 remake or remaster, same as New Vegas. I could see those getting quite good reception, especially if you really... The shooting in Starfield is good. The shooting in Fallout 4 is fine. Like, it definitely got better in Starfield. Like, it's fine in Fallout 4. You know, obviously, the further back you go, it gets pretty rough. So, yeah, I think they could experiment with that. And if I could go play a Fallout 3 or a New Vegas and the shooting felt really, really good, I actually think that would get pretty good reception and good support. I think if you do another thing with Skyrim, people would assume you're joking around. They're like, are you freaking serious? Like, just right. Give us Elder Scrolls 6, man. You know?
Skyrim 9th edition.
Right, right. I think that's always...
You can now play it on your Apple Watch.
Yeah, yeah. I think at one point, didn't they meme? They, like, made fun of themselves with Pete Hines. Didn't he do, like, a commercial? They made fun of themselves for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I don't know if you can do that and then do another one. Like, I think that wouldn't go over very well. So, yeah. Well, guys, that's going to do it, but we're not done yet for the day. We're going to go to a VIP show and just kind of keep talking. So if you've upgraded to a VIP, you can come with us. You can even hang out with me and 30 and my producer. But a ton of new members today. Thank you guys so much. You guys got really close to the next milestone. If you want to do that really quickly while I'm having Mike talk. But if you got a gifted member or your member, don't forget to tune in tonight. I'll be streaming with my wife, and we will be playing that crab game, Another Crab's Treasure. You guys earned that this week by hitting the goal. I got to play a rage game on Friday night. So thanks so much for doing that. And I'm all paid up. I've gifted all the members I owe. Mike, where can they find you, and what kind of content have you been working on lately?
You can find me over on 30NSG. I do Monday through Thursday from 10 o'clock in the morning to about noon Eastern. I just read the news stories. Like, if you want fresh news, we got the fastest news because we're literally reading the stories on air live. And I give you my thoughts, my opinions, and then we have a conversation with chat. No, it's nothing like what Lona does. I don't sit down and write anything. It's literally I read the article and give you my thoughts live on the air. So come on by or watch the past broadcasts. We do live streams, uploads, shorts, gameplay, and I also do a podcast. So come on by.
Well, I'm going to spam a link in chat for VIP. If you can't come to VIP, it would be so amazing if you guys went and checked out my upload from today. It'll be the featured video on the channel. It is the Elden Ring Shadows of the Erdtree Will Be Good video. That video is a break in format, so it needs a little bit of help. It's not doing so good because when you break from format, YouTube gets a little confused. So a couple of weeks of Friday starting at this time and giving you guys more content, we should see better results. The goal was to give you guys more content, more to watch, more to engage with. So show that video some love if you haven't already. I am going to spam a link in chat, though, for the VIP stream. And if you can't come with us, you can upgrade. If not, go check that video out. If you are a member, I hope to see you tonight. Thanks so much for being a VIP or higher. This is your weekly VIP stream. And you guys did hit the Rage game goal. So remember to be here tonight for Another Crab's Treasure. If you guys are watching us later, going to hang out here with Mike and Creature. And I'm going to end that previous stream where we talked about what's next for Fallout. And I'm going to change that thumbnail so it...
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.